Hello there, I'm Colleen.
And I'm Anders. We're nerds who love science fiction and fantasy stories, so obviously we love Star Wars.
And if there's one thing the internet just can't get enough of, it's nerds talking about Star Wars. So each episode, we journey to a galaxy far, far away to discuss what's new in the Star Wars canon and beyond. This is yet another Star Wars podcast coming to you on Revenge of the Fifth.
Yes, we are. We are. Hopefully, everyone had an excellent May the 4th.
So much content.
So much content. I was thinking about that. People have been saying that, like, oh, we're gonna slow things down. We're in a bit of a Star Wars drought almost. But we've had Bad Batch. We got Tales of the Empire out now.
Yeah.
Acolyte's gonna be this summer. It looks like Skeleton Crew is this winter. Like, they're not necessarily slowing down.
No, if anything, it's like ramping up, which is just fine. Just fine by me.
But today we are here and we are excited and a little sad to share our reactions and our theories for the season three and the series finale of The Bad Batch. This ep
Sorry.
this supersized episode was written by Jennifer Corbett and directed by Stuart Lee, Brad Rao, and Sal Ruiz. This is the official spoiler warning for this episode and, of course, all things Star Wars. So if you're ready, grab a drink from the lovely Space Grease Cantina as we discuss The Bad Batch Season 3, The Cavalry Has Arrived. Colleen, you ready to punch it?
All right, let's go. Last Bad Batch, we got this. Okay, so we open. The cavalry is, yeah, they're coming, all right. The children escape by reprogramming a nanny droid to attack Dr. Skaldr, which was great. I am all in it for droids getting reprogrammed and attacking abusive people. That's totally fine.
And Omega was great. She was
Oh.
just like, no, they're telling the truth. We were with the droid.
We were. Yeah, we're not lying. We were totally with the droid. Maybe reprogramming it, but that's fine. Seriously though, like getting outsmarted by children is not a good look. She's d definitely going to get punished. I don't know if she dies during the ensuing crisis, but if she hadn't, she still would have been punished. So the kids climb through the facility. I loved this. Loved it. Eva strapping the little doll to her back like she was carrying
Nice little
somebody out
attention
with
to
her.
detail that they showed them, like ripping up the sheets to make that sling.
Yes, it was so good. Like, good job, kids. I like this. So they go out, they're climbing through the facility. Of course, the baby starts crying right when they're getting to the Zillow Beast enclosure area. So they set the Zillow free. Fantastic, amazing, no notes. Of course, the Zillow goes on a very righteous rampage throughout the
All right,
facility.
I have one note. I have one note for this
Okay, you have
sequence.
one
Like,
note.
Imperials are dumb. I think we can, for the
Oh,
most
yeah.
part, agree on that. So often, like, our heroes manage to invade Imperial facilities. They get around with almost no problem. But these guys maybe take the cake for the dumbest Imperial guards I think I've ever seen. It's not like he was standing like down the hall and they unlocked the cage like around the corner so you don't quite notice what's going on. This guy was standing over the tank, which has glowing red shield grid on it that Omega shuts down and starts draining the water, and the guy doesn't notice.
It's a terrible employee.
Like, it's not even like he was, I'm pretty sure he was on like a grate too, so you could see through. It was glowing red and now it's not, and he just
Yeah.
didn't notice until the beast's head was like right behind him.
Whoopsies. That guy's not getting his bonus. Yes, that was the one thing I was like, how are they not seeing this? But I guess they're distracted by children. I mean, there are children there that they probably don't realize are there. Like, I would think that the kids are really top secret. So they're like, why are there children in the walls? I guess that's getting our attention right now. It is a very fair question to ask employees. That is true. So the kiddos eventually run into Echo and Emrekar. Hunter, Wrecker, and Crosshair are infiltrating the base, but they're captured by Hemlock's CX operatives. No, oh no, terrible. I was very nervous here. Poor Crosshair gets the traditional Star Wars treatment of losing his hand. I guess no more tremors, though. I
Exactly.
guess.
Someone forced him to get over that.
Yeah. Like in a very, very violent way. They're like, oh, you really shouldn't lose your shooting hand. I'm like, oh my God. Guess they're really doing this. So then we have Echo and Omega just really being great this whole episode. They free Nala Se, Rampart, of course, and the other clone prisoners while Emery takes the kiddos to safety. Now we'll say goes to destroy the facility's data, which good job, girl. She knows what she's up to. And she's trying to protect Omega and prevent the Empire from using her research. Fair. Very fair. We needed this to happen so that the whole Exegol thing could happen eventually in Rise of Skywalker. We'll talk more about that later. How it actually kind of makes some sort of sense now, something about Rise of Skywalker. We shall see in the future if it all makes sense. But then, of course, here comes Rampart. Oh, what an idiot. He confronts her, he shoots her. He plans to use the research for leverage with the Empire so he can rejoin them. But before she dies, Nalase uses the grenade that she took to destroy everything, including Rampart. Rampart gets done in by Nalase. She goes out like a complete boss. I
He
loved
had a
it.
way out. He could have made his way to some sort of freedom, but
He
he
could
chose to
have.
go back for leverage because he's an idiot.
Yep, that's the old Imperial employment scheme.
So Hemlock is attempting to convert Hunter, Wrecker, and Crosshair into operatives. He lectures Crosshair about being useful to the Empire after he called himself indispensable earlier to Rampart.
Nice.
Echo, Omega, and the other clones free them, but Hemlock has a lot of traps. He releases a gas that knocks out a lot of the clones, leaving Echo to just fight all by himself.
Yeah.
But Omega
Beam.
does manage to loosen Wrecker's restraints, so he gets out. And he leaves Omega to Hunter as he tackles an operative through the glass. Wrecker just, jeez, I
That was
mean,
amazing.
the man, I mean, the man's a tank. But he makes it through this episode, and I'm really not sure if he should have, based on the injuries that he sustained.
I agree. I was very concerned at this point that Wrecker was not going to make it.
Unfortunately, even though he and Echo take out the rest of the operatives, Hemlock grabs Omega and drags her out into a storm that I swear was not there 5 minutes ago.
Came out of nowhere.
Hunter and Crosshair catch up. But Hemlock uses Omega as a human shield. Omega, though, trusts in her brothers. She takes out this little tool that she had stashed away to stab Hemlock, pushes him away so Crosshair can shoot the binders holding them together, and Hunter and Crosshair can shoot the hell out of Hemlock.
Yes.
This was almost like the Kylo
Yes.
Ren, more.
Oh,
And
yeah.
he
Kill
falls
him
off the walk.
harder. I
And he falls off the walkway. Pretty sure this killed him, but it is Star Wars. Never trust a fall. And the batch escape back to Pabu. Tarkin arrives. He shuts down Tantus because none of the data is recoverable, and he diverts all of its funding into Project Stardust because he is Tarkin, and that's what he does.
What he does best, he's a money man.
Emery goes with Echo to help the other clones. Knowing that she has a lot to make up for, while Omega and the Bad Batch decide to remain on Pabu. Years later, an adult Omega is planning to leave Pabu to join the rebellion against the Empire, and her Papa Hunter is waiting in the cavern with Badger. He gives Omega a final heart-to-heart chat, and she makes her choice and flies away. End of series.
Oh shit. Ooh. What a way to end it. Okay,
I
I think
know.
we have to do our reactions first, our favorite moments. The ending was actually one of my favorites. I really liked how they kind of pulled a little Lord of the Rings action here by having two endings. They had them like do their cute little family portrait shot on Pabu, which had Wrecker and Omega and Hunter and Crosshair sitting with Thatcher under the tree. It was really cute. But then they gave us this little extra scene, and I'm very, very glad that they did. I loved it. I pretty much liked everything about the finale. I think it did its job. It ended the series perfectly. There were like a couple little nitpick things like we had with the Zilbies, like handlers being absolutely shit at their jobs. I'm really glad that your body count was lower than expected. I was worried for pretty much everybody this episode except Omega. I figured Omega was going to get out no matter what. But the others, I'm like, any one of them could literally die at any moment. I was having very hard palpitations at certain points. Wrecker, especially, I thought he was going to die very, very soon. I also liked that they finally showed how dangerous the X clone troopers are. The reprogrammed guys because
Yeah.
holy shit. This was like, I guess, the final product. Like, this is, they're in the beta testing situation, and now these are the final products that are going out there. Like, shit, they were really terrifying. I can legit see clone guys like this being an issue later at some point, except I'm pretty sure all that research is now gone too.
Yeah, probably.
Pretty much everything to do with Hemlock was destroyed when Tantus was destroyed. I did have one nitpick. I'm glad that the batch found Forever Home on Pabu, but it's very worrying because should they have stayed there, the Empire caught Omega there before. So wouldn't that be one of the first places they go looking for
I
her?
was wondering about that too. I guess the explanation is that it was the clone operative and it was Hemlock that found them, so any reference to that was lost along with the rest of his data.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can figure. But even then, why would they think it was safe to stay there? I mean, I'm glad that they did because it's a beautiful place, and obviously they were very at home there. And also, I'm just really glad that the Zillow gets to roam free on this planet, on Wayland. Go live your life, free creature. I loved that part. It's just like stomping away from the mountains. Fantastic. No notes about the Zillow. Great. How about you?
I really liked the clone operatives here. I like how their number and the fact that they all had like these little specializations kind of made them a dark reflection of the Bad Batch, that team. My one complaint about that was that actually sometimes it was a little bit too dark, and the fact that they were both in black armor kind of sometimes made it hard to distinguish when I was watching who's fighting who.
Total.
I talked about Wrecker. I definitely thought he wasn't going to make it out. I was like, oh,
Worried.
is the exact inverse of my prediction coming through? But Colleen, speaking again of the clone operatives, though, I want to toast to us and our wish coming true. It wasn't tech.
Huzzah!
It was not tech.
None of them were tech. Thank God. Tech's loss would have like just not had as much meaning.
Yeah, I want to kind of go back and rewatch the season now, knowing that that's not there, because then you can just appreciate the moments where they keep tech forefront in your mind, knowing that it's a little bit of just a red herring slash a nice little tribute, being like, no, they wouldn't forget about him.
No, they still at the very end, we have the moment with Omega and the goggles. Like, Tech is never forgotten. One of the most heartbreaking parts was when Crosshair said that the team died when Tech did. And I was like,
Yeah. It's
no.
not true, though. It's not
No,
true.
you're still bros. You're still the best of brothers.
I was waiting like the entire time in a couple of her little speeches. I was waiting on Emery to like refer to Omega as sister or to like call the clones her brothers because
That
she
would
is
have
a
been
clone.
nice. That would have been
And it would have
good.
kind of given a real nice full circle moment for her. I noticed on my second watch when the children are escaping, we mentioned them putting the sling together for the baby, but you do get a quick shot of Omega putting that tool up her sleeve.
So it's not just like coming out of nowhere.
Right. I loved at the end, we talked a little bit earlier this season about Omega not always being in uniform, especially on Pabu, how she was kind of dressed more like a local, and it was great in that closing scene to see Hunter out of his armor and in just kind of more local garb,
Yeah, he's in
showing
his old man phase.
that he had finally managed to settle. I love the fact Hemlock thinks that he's Thrawn, but he's actually Krennic. He thinks he is completely indispensable, but the Emperor is just like, no, as soon as you're not useful or someone else can usurp whatever you're doing, you're going to be gone, my guy.
One, Palpatine thinks that everything's gone. I mean, Hemlock had everything
I
on Tantus, which maybe in hindsight wasn't the best idea.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure the Exegol operation is still happening right now, or it's at the very least kind of started, and he was probably transmitting some. So they had
I would
enough to
hope.
start out there, but like his recent breakthroughs are stuff that they didn't have. I did also notice in that closing scene we get the above shot of Pabu at night, and I was like, is that? It looks a lot like Tantus from above.
So, yeah, circles.
Where is this
Circles and
scene actually
circles.
taking place? I mean, you can see the when you know what it is, you see like the boats and the harbor and stuff, so it's not there, but it was just a nice little reflection. And of course, once again in Star Wars, classic formula, we have a rescue operation in which the people doing the rescue get captured. So the person being rescued has to go back and save them.
Oh, it's a classic.
It is a Rebels formula, but no, this episode was very strong on the whole. I liked it a lot. I thought it functioned really well as a finale.
Yeah, same.
I loved at the very end that it was just Hunter and Omega in that cave.
Yeah.
She kind of had her time with Crosshair
Yeah,
throughout
she
this
hugged
season.
him. That was great.
He was the one that she hugged first. She's always been close with Wrecker, but they kind of focused a lot on Hunter at the first season, and then he didn't get as much time front and center. He's always there, but he didn't get as much character development throughout the last couple seasons. But that kind of father-daughter relationship was really built in season one, so it was a great full circle moment that he was the one to see her off.
I agree. He had to be. He needed some alone time with his girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Badger, because you can't get rid of Badger.
No, protect Badger at all costs.
Exactly. Thank God
I
she's still alive. Ugh. Would have
also
been an
loved.
angry letter.
I loved the dynamic of having the three clones together again on their invasion. Like, and when they're looking up, Crosshair is like, "Do you think that was Omega or was that Echo?" And Wrecker and Hunter in unison, it was Omega. When the
Omega,
Zilla piece
yeah.
comes out.
Oh, yeah. God, it was fantastic. That was a great moment. As they're like, oh, a giant monster. I wonder what happened here. Oh, so good.
Yep. All right, then we are going to move into our Easter eggs, connections, and callbacks, starting with that title, The Cavalry Has Arrived. Unfortunately for me, it's not Fennec Shand, so no
Yay.
Ming, no Wen this episode, but the Batch does escape Tantus for the final time. In battles before modern weapons, the cavalry was made up of soldiers on horses who could kind of turn the tide of the battle. They were talented warriors, they were kind of the elites. So should we call Echo the cavalry in this episode? He kind of did a lot of the heavy lifting.
He really did. As I rewatched it, I'm like, wow, Echo is doing a lot of work here. He did great, though. I loved Echo in this episode. Okay, so I thought this was interesting. During the opening, we see the helmets flash by the screen, but they're not red and blue like they usually are. They were very stark grays, very neutral. I thought this was a really interesting choice. I think it's to show that the Bad Batch and the other clones are finally taking themselves out of this light side, dark side battle by the end of the finale. They want to live in peace. They want to retire. The war is over. Like, the war is finally over for them,
Yeah.
which I very much like that
Same with
idea.
the show title.
Yeah.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
was all black. It wasn't that like kind of scraped up metal.
Yep. It's like, oh, Star Wars, you know exactly what you're doing.
Next up, we have Rampart. So he is locked up directly across from Nala Se. This is a great way for them to just show that the Empire screwed them both over and foreshadows Rampart's eventual death. He is the one who destroyed Nala Se's people, so it's only fitting eventually that she destroys him in the end. She even gave him a way out. Way kinder to Rampart than he was to the Kaminoans. Like, he had to go though.
He did. He really did. Once he pulled that, I'm like, nope, you're dead. You had a shot, my guy, but you totally blew it. And it would have been funny to kind of see him be like not reformed necessarily, but like dragged along and made to like retire. That would have been really funny. But I think we already got that kind of arc with Kallus in
Yeah.
Rebels, and Rampart just did not deserve any sort of, not even redemption, but he didn't deserve any sort of arc where he got to survive. You
Absolutely
do a
not.
genocide, you're gonna die. That totally fits with this. The Zilla Beast, once again, amazing. Love the beast. So many great moments. So many things reminded me of Jurassic Park when it's in the water, Deep Blue Sea, brought back when the shark gets kind of like brought out and bites the guy. Made me think of that. Of course, Godzilla, King Kong, the kind of kaiju movies. This guy has been around since season one of the Clone Wars, so it's really cool to see it bust free like the Kool-Aid Man and take off into the jungle.
It was season one that he came into play? It was
Yes,
that
well, the
early?
first one, yeah, if this is the baby that grew, then that's a different one, but I mean, the concept of the Zillow has been around really long time.
Yeah.
Yes. This new apex predator in town, I think the other creatures in the jungle are now being like, oh shit, they let that giant monster free. It's fine. Born free, Zillow Beast.
Born free, live free.
Exactly.
Except we do not need Plan 99. So, Crosshair offers to take on Tantus all by himself, but Hunter and Wrecker are not about that. The plan, which Tech referred to right before he plummeted to his death, is named for Clone 99, the original defective clone, quote unquote defective, who sacrificed himself for his brothers during the Clone Wars. The Bad Batch's other title is Clone Force 99, named after that same brother who gave his life to save a lot of other clones on Kamino.
Yeah, 499. That one still brings a tear to my eye. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have the other clone prisoners. They're finally free. They've been held capture for so long. Omega and Exco successfully free the prisoners, then ask for their help to save the Bad Batch. I loved this moment, since in the beginning of the series, we saw all of the clones treating the Bad Batch like they were lesser, making them eat at a separate lunch table, which is just rude. Just so rude. It was really great to see the clones agree to help and get this like one more mission in before retirement.
Yeah.
Like, yes, band together. You are brothers, even if you think your other brothers are weird.
And then we have Nala say when she goes to destroy the data, the core comes up out of the ground. Kind of looks like the specimen holding canisters out of Jurassic Park, which is another film about the dangers of cloning and whether or not you should.
Exactly. You could. You didn't think about it if you should. Yeah, Palpatine really should have thought about this beforehand. Then we go back to my queen, Nalase, sacrificing herself for Omega. But then I thought about with her death, are the Kaminoans extinct? Like, even if a few survived the destruction of Kamino, for the most part, yes, I would say they would fit the description of being an extinct people or close to it. I don't think we see any Kaminoans after the Clone Wars era that I can think of. There's
No.
probably a few out there. Like, we do get outlying survivors of Alderaan, but those were the people who just happened to be away from the planet when it was destroyed.
Right.
So I don't think the Kaminoans will ever be able to make a comeback.
Probably not, unless there's a couple out there and they clone themselves a lot.
Hey, they've done things like that before. So they could succeed again, but I think Palpatine pretty much makes sure that they're gone.
Next, we have Hunter. He pulls a Rex. He throws an electric spear at Clone X, pinning him against the wall in a brutal fashion. Rex does something similar in Clone Wars Season 4 when he and Anakin are in a really tight spot on Zygeria. We don't really see the clones unleash like that very often, so this was just really cool. Wrecker 2, when he just went ham and was
Yes, this is what we want.
like.
We want the clones going absolutely apeshit in battle because that is what they were made to do. Like, they're soldiers, they're warriors. So seeing him just kind of javelin that guy, I'm like, damn. Hunter means business. I love seeing him and Wrecker just go absolutely nuts. Oh, and then we go back to that mysterious storm outside Tantus. Reminded us of the terrible weather on Kamino. Like, just rain all the damn time. In Attack
Absolutely.
of the Clones, we have that fight sequence between Obi-Wan and Jango Fett, which I think was a nice callback to the clones, Kamino. Just kind of all of these little threads being put together, even if the storm did come out of nowhere. Let's just say it's a rainforest and it rains most of the time. And then, of course, Lieutenant Scorch was also killed on this walkway. He's the guy that's been hanging out with Hemlock for quite some time, one of the last clone commandos that was left that we've at least seen. So RIP to Scorch. I'm sure that Daniel, our fellow host, was quite sad when we saw Scorch go down.
And then we have the man himself, Governor Tarkin, is back again. Now, his Star Destroyer is flanked by two Venator-class Star Destroyers, which are Clone Wars era. Tarkin's ship, however, is more like a Victory class, which is kind of the standard Star Wars one from the Imperial era. When it looms over Tantus, it's an amazing shot. It does that classic, like coming in from the top, just like the openings to all the movies. Also, it flies right through a group of birds, showing the classic Star Wars Imperial theme, nature versus tech.
I loved that shot.
It was
It was
an amazing
impeccable.
shot. I always love, we see it so much. We never saw it in the original trilogy, but I love seeing Star Destroyers in atmosphere. It's just so much more
Yes.
menacing.
Oh yeah, imagine that thing coming at your city. Be like, oh well, we're all fucked now. They aren't even doing orbital bombardment. They're just going to completely bombard us from here. They'll be able to destroy us even more easily. Okay, and Tarkin redirects that funding to Project Stardust. In case you don't remember, this is the project code name for the Death Star. Mount Tantus also is on the planet Wayland, which first appeared in the Star Wars Legends in Heir to the Empire. It was one of Palpy's scientific storehouses in Legends, and Thrawn happened to take it over. I'm guessing since we're getting more Thrawn from the Ahsoka series timeline moving forward, it's possible that Mount Tantus could return. Although I really don't want to see a clone Luke, so I'm here or there, like it might get mentioned as a possibility. I don't know if it's going to be a big part of anything to come, but just kind of looking back on Heir to the Empire, being like,
Maybe,
it's
maybe.
still there. Like they didn't really destroy it, and that other mountain was still there. So it's like,
That's true. He did just say shutter this facility as opposed to Rampart. You know, he didn't just go up and orbital bombard the planet to destroy it all.
Yeah, conserve the Zillow Beast environment.
So the Bad Batch now makes a small part of Rise of Skywalker make some sort of sense. Why did Palpatine have a secret base on Exegol with a secret fleet and a secret army? Because the first facility where he was trying to do that was taken out on Tantus. He didn't trust many people with Exegol's secret, which, I mean, fair. Then the First Order was created to divert Leia and the New Republic's attention away from whatever was going on in the unknown regions. Again, fair. And the First Order was being a general menace to the New Republic. They were helping Palpatine to get more time to revive himself on Exegol.
Small making sense moment at this point. Only very small though. And you also kind of would have had to read the Aftermath trilogy. To understand why there were Imperials in the unknown regions in the first place.
Yeah, wouldn't have had to make sense if Rise of Skywalker was a good movie.
I mean, that's also fair. I mean, at least the Bad Batch is trying. It's trying its best. Dave Filoni is filling in as many holes as he can. I did like this little detail. Echo says many of the clones are going to settle on Pantora, which is the homeworld of Senator Chuchi. She's the one that's been basically fighting for the clones' rights this entire time. The world would be welcoming, I think, to the retiring clones. And I'm guessing there aren't that many. So they can definitely take in a couple clone refugees who are probably going to be really good at working, let's be fair.
Fair. Next, we have this theme of we get to choose who we want to be. The clones never had a choice. They were bred to be soldiers, and that's all they knew. They were good soldiers. They followed orders for the most part. It really hits home, though, once Hunter says to Omega that they get to make a choice. The Empire is going to forget all about them. The remaining clones are going to be phased out of the military. And finally, they are free to do what they want for the first time. Even Dr. Carr took off her glasses, showing that she is, in fact, choosing a new path.
Another detail I really liked there.
Yeah.
And then our last one, Omega uses the same hidden cavern that Ventress used earlier this season, which is just great. We're not sure how long it's been, maybe like 12 to 15 years after they escaped Tantus. I would have to know like the exact timeline before the Battle of Yavin is happening. Omega does take Gonki with her. It's like, yay, Gonki's still there too.
I'm glad he has
I
eased
love.
beyond being Wrecker's Jim.
Exactly. Now he gets to help Omega. And then she also, of course, has Tech's goggles with her on the ship to remind her that her and her brothers will always be connected.
Right, Colleen. So now that we're out of the season, we're out of the series, what sort of lingering questions do you have on the future here?
Oof. I would like to see Omega's journey with the Rebellion. I don't think we're going to get a show. We might get a comic, maybe a book. I really wanted to see Wrecker and Crosshair as old guys too. So it would be nice if they could show up somewhere. But at least we know that they're still alive during the Rebellion era. I think that's pretty much the information we really wanted to know. And also that Batcher is living her best life on Pabu.
Fair.
That's really all we needed. All we needed. I'm guessing the remaining clones are scattering across the galaxy. Most of them going to Pandora, it seems. Rex, Wolf, and Gregor are stuck together. So I hope the other clones did the same and stayed the same way. The main point of the series was family, whether it's found family or sticking with your brothers. Like, even though you're clones, you're basically supposed to be the same person. I think this series and Clone Wars showed so well that the clones are unique individuals, but they still have this really strong tie to family and their brothers. So I'm hoping there's not clones out there alone. Really want them to be happy after all the bullshit they went through.
Yep. All right. So my biggest question coming out of the series, especially now that we have the character of Emery to compare to, why is Omega's hair a different color? Why is it blonde? Emery's brown. All the clones are like brown, black. Like, what's going on here?
I don't know.
It
Maybe
kind I
now
know
Say
it.
likes blondes.
Yeah, I know it kind of like makes her seem like it give her a little bit more of that like religious figure look or stuff, but it's now officially bothering me. I'm like, why is your hair blonde?
Now let's say isolated that gene. I don't know why. That's just what she did.
Next question would be, do we want to see like a live action or a new show with Omega in it? I don't know. I don't know how you get the casting right on that. It's like you basically have to be a male Temuera Morrison or a female Temuera Morrison. And I mean, some people are speculating Omega could show up in the Rogue Squadron movie, which, if they do, I hope they only tangentially refer to the Bad Batch as a series. Like, I don't want that to be homework. Like, just develop her character in that movie, and she can be like, I have a long history with the Empire, and just leave it at that.
I would like that.
I would like that. I'm a little nervous though, because I mean, we've had Rebels, which is kind of the tangential rebellion story. We've had Lost Stars, seeing things from like the soldiers on the front lines. Like, do we need to do that story again just to get Omega back, or can we do something else?
I know. I think we can do something else. I mean, even if we get like another series for Ahsoka season two, you could just have Hera mentioning pilots and being like, well, Omega's here, like stationed somewhere else, blah blah blah's here. Just kind of like a name drop. Even that I would be pretty cool with. Just be like, oh good, she's still around. Like she's still doing okay.
And then lastly, before we go here, this is the series finale. So just some reflections on season three as a whole, reflections on the series. I think that this series, I guess I loved it. I think that the quality of this series is extremely consistent. I think Clone Wars had kind of much higher highs and much lower lows than Rebels did. And then Rebels found a balance of like a really consistent high quality. And I think that this was just as consistent, if the quality may be a little bit under Rebels. But I just thought this was an amazing story to tell. It's well siloed off to the side that you don't need to watch the other stuff. You don't need to watch this to make other stuff make sense. I think Ventress in this season is the only lightsabers we saw the entire time. You don't have to have Jedi, even though we do have the whole M count bit. But we
I
never
agree.
really see characters using the Force.
Yeah, only Gunji, I think, is the only other one.
Gunji and Ventress are the only ones, and they're not like integral to the plot of the series. So I just thought it was extremely well done. I liked this season kind of being a serialized arc, even though I did appreciate a lot of the kind of mission of the week stuff we got in seasons one and two.
I agree. I think seasons one and two did a really good job setting us up for who the characters are and how they react to things with each other. And then, so season three, they were just able to be like, okay, we're playing out all the stops. We're just doing this arc in which we try to rescue the clones from Tantus, which is basically what the entire third season was. If you look at it, like, yes, they were trying to rescue Omega. But then the Omega escapes. So then Omega gets captured again. So we have to go rescue the clones anyway. So
It
this
is
really
my
was
one
kind
quibble
of
with the
like,
season was Omega didn't have as much to do this
yeah,
season.
kind of the back and forth,
She
kind
was
of.
just a MacGuffin, kind of.
Yeah. I'm glad that she got to stand out at the end and release the Zillo and actually like rescue herself. Like, yes, she was the MacGuffin, but this MacGuffin's got legs and a brain. So she at least was able to kind of like get her own way in a lot. And I like that she's so charismatic that people just follow her. Like the other four sensitive kiddos, and Emery really comes around in the end, whether it was a little too quick in the storytelling with Emery, I did like how it ended for her. Just like the whole idea of the show, I didn't think I needed it when they announced it, when they announced the first season. I was like, do we need this show? I don't know. And then we got it. I'm like, yes, we do. Because it showed us that really important piece of what happens to the clones after the Clone Wars. And a lot of media kind of gets away from that aspect of what happens after the war, what happens to the soldiers who come home, and they come home to no home, really, because then Kamino is destroyed. Where else are they supposed to go? They're just supposed to wander around the Empire, I guess. So as a whole, I would say it's right in there with Clone Wars and Rebels. Like, it is up there with those two. Rebels is still my favorite, but oof, Bad Batch has some doozies in there, guys.
It really did.
All right, I think that's it for us, you guys. This is ending our Bad Batch coverage. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at YASWPod. Follow us wherever you're getting your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button. Check out our previous episodes on the main Star Wars film and other great Star Wars content. And of course, join us next time when we're taking a look at the new series, Tales of the Empire, getting with some really sassy ladies. Until then, everyone, kick back in a lawn chair in the marketplace, buy an ice cream with the kiddos, and finally, relax. Cheers and bye, everyone.
Cheers.
Until
Bye,
next
everyone.
time.